The femur of him the fissure of femur we're going to begin the Divrei Zikaron for Harava Goyen Rav Yankov Kamenetsky Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Just in a word of introduction to the Reshiva, I want to just mention an anecdote with Rav Yankov Zatzal. It was said over in the last few days when many people were aroused and awakened in their memories of Rav Yankov, that it happened once that Rav Yankov was telling over what it means Shimush Tamidei Chachamim. Somebody wanted to be Mishamish him. He, in his humility, generally did not allow people to do things for him, and yet nevertheless he explained that he was torn, because as we recently learned in Daf Yomi, Gedolei Shimusha, without Shimush Tamidei Chachamim, there is really nothing. And he told over himself that the Alta from Slabotka, his Rebbe, had a taina on him. He used to sit right behind the Alta, and he used to watch him and scrutinize the way he davened very, very carefully. And one time the Alta, he said to him, "Du verherrst mich mein davenen? Are you testing me on my davening?" And Rabbi Yankov said over later on that whatever sense he had of davening, the fact that there was a nefesh and a neshama imbued into him, into how to be Ovedes Hashem b'tefillah, that came from his watching the Alta from Slabotka, his Rebbe. A number of the people that are going to speak tonight, everybody that was approached that discussed the idea of being Maspid Rabbi Yankov, expressed the concept that we're not going to engage in Hespedim. For various reasons, either those that feel that they did not know him, those like myself that are simply not royal lekach. However, the opportunity to hear from one of the Gedolei Hador gives us a sense of what these Divrei Zikaron are all about. Simply being in the presence of Gedolim, Lahavdil ben Chaim Lechaim, the Reshiva Zal Gesundheit, gives us a sense of what we've lost and what we ought to appreciate in terms of Shimush Tamidei Chachamim, and listening and revering the Gedolei Yisrael that we do have. The Rosh Yeshiva Zal Gesundheit Harav Gift.
It's becoming somewhat difficult for me to be present at a communal gathering for a very simple reason. With all that is happening in Klal Yisrael today, nevertheless, there is no reason why individuals who are far, far removed from being termed Gdolei Yisroel, and why they must be made uncomfortable always to be referred to as such, is something that I cannot fathom. And that's why it's becoming very difficult to come to any communal gathering. All this is unnecessary. We are here specifically in order to understand how small we are. And we begin to feel this when one who was great leaves this world of ours. I pointed out in the yeshiva Monday night that I didn't have the privilege of knowing Rav Yankov so close as to be able to define what he was and therefore what we have lost. I never heard a shear from him. I heard very little in Mila de Agadete from him. I met him a few times. But one thing always impressed me. You know, the great men in Klal Yisrael, the real Gedolim, they weren't called Reb Yosef, Reb Shmuel, Reb Yankiv. They were called Harav, so-and-so, out of a feeling of respect for the place they occupied. And curiously, in reference to Harav Yankiv Kamenetsky, everyone speaks of him and spoke of him, Reb Yankiv. And when they say Reb Yankiv, so everyone knew whom they were talking about. The Serepna, the Reb Yankiv Kamenetsky. Why is this so? Is it because there was a lack of respect? No, to the contrary. Reb Yankiv exuded love for everyone with whom he came into contact. Reb Yankiv was that mit uns sagen, Rav Reb Yankiv Kamenetsky. Ich spar doch von dem Liebschaft. That's why people called him that. And I recall a very interesting thing. It was Heist Liebschaft. I have children in Miami, Miami Beach. A few years ago, Reb Yankiv used to come there every winter. A few years ago, he was there and he took ill and he was taken into the hospital. My daughter, Zol Gesund Sein, went to visit him. Biker Cholim, to help the Rebbetzin. And she took along one of the children. Yankiv said, "Wie heißt der Kind?" She said, "His name is Eliezer." Reb Yankiv broke down in tears. "Oi, Eliezer, du sagst, er heißt doch, was sein Eltern sagen, doch der Bläser tells him." And it was uncontrollable. Mit dem Kind einhalten. Und mit Gebet haben sie alle rausgehen vom Zimmer. A nurse came in and a doctor and begged to please leave the room. From that, I saw an example of what this Godel's heart represented. The Blazer tells her, he later told me, he had the privilege of seeing him when he came once to Kovne. The Blazer passed away in 1912, I think it was. He saw him before then. He was quite young. He was a Talmid then in Slabotkin. And from that one meeting with this Ge'ein Hador, the Blazer tells him, it remained inscribed and impressed upon him what this Godel represented. And when he heard that a great-grandchild is named Eliezer, he saw before himself, the Blazer tells her. And it brought him to such tears that it was uncontrollable. This is an example of what the Yankiv's heart represented. A Herz von Av, Chiebe, Übergebenheit, interest in a fellow man. Not if he's the Blazer tells her, but interest in a young child because he bears the name of Eliezer. Interest in a layman, nicht kein Talmid Chochem, but he's in need. He's, mein Herz ist offen zu ihm. Damit wem zu reden. And I've been hearing stories from people who opened their hearts to him and how his heart responded to them. When I hear about others and they tell me, Ergizok Grace Teire, Ergizok Tifishurin, but when I hear how great the heart of this individual was, how open it was to every Jew, great and small, child and adult, zoking the yelled, that can only be possible when one is a gogol b'Yisroel. Those qualities are given only to Gdelim. Living a life of Torah, living by Torah, receiving the inspiration from those great Rabbeim, from whose fountain of knowledge in Yerushalayim he drank, that creates those essential spiritual qualities which create the heart only of a godel. And after all is heart. We pray to Hashem, Psach libi b'seir esecho. Those are the words of David HaMelech. Open up my heart to your Torah. When do we see the greatness of Torah in individual? A mezet di greiskeit von a hearts. Then we see how great this individual is. So we need no other proof of who Reb Yankiv was and what he represents in Gadlus Hadoyer. And he is no more. He has left us. And we begin to think, who remains with us in this Doir Oni Ve'Evyen, in this impoverished generation of ours? Who's left with us? With whom do we remain? It wasn't so long ago, and we lost that giant, the Stipeler, now, a little bit over 7 days ago, we lost this great heart which only godless Beteira creates. I've said a number of times in other places that I feel under such circumstances that every one of us has to be mispalel. But Hashem Yisborach, keep with us that Ge'un Ador Rav Shach Zalalan Lem, who carries upon his shoulders the yoke of this generation of ours. But asking for his preservation is not sufficient. We must do something to create favor in the eyes of Hashem that this shall so be, and that what these greats have done for us shall not have been in vain. But we must first understand, how low has this generation of ours sunk in the history of Klal Yisroel? Where do we stand in comparison to previous generations? Where do we stand in comparison to a pre-war Europe, the world of Torah and of yeshivas, which nurtured Klal Yisroel? Where do we stand with all the Torah that Hashem Yisborach has been so gracious in granting Klal Yisroel both here in this country and in Eretz Yisrael, through the remnants that he saved out of the fires of the European Holocaust. Remnants! One of those remnants was Reb Yankiv himself, who had the chokhmah and the pikhus to see in time that it's time to move from Europe to another continent. And that brought him here. Others didn't see it. But there were a few who did. And they got out in time. And they established whatever we have today in this country and in Eretz Yisrael of Torah and of Yerushalayim. To them we owe our existence today. But nevertheless, in comparison to what we were in pre-war Europe, and I had the privilege of studying in pre-war Europe, I had the privilege of seeing that world. There are no words to describe the difference between these two worlds. No words whatsoever. What is more, when we bethink ourselves of how far the world of today, not merely the Jewish world, not merely the Torah world, how far we are removed from concepts that were taken for granted in a generation previous, even here in this country. Chaptos Hashrek. How can we sink so low? And I've had occasion to point this out in a number of instances in the past few weeks. It was brought to my attention through the catastrophe of the Challenger. What did it lead to, this terrible catastrophe? It led to a congressional investigation and to a NASA investigation. That's what it led to. Beyond that, there's nothing more to think about. Perhaps we've been thought that we are not masters over everything. That's the greatest lesson in life. Perhaps we've been taught that there is a creator, a Abayri Baruch Hu, who is master of all. I haven't seen that discussed by anyone. And that hurts. Was sein sein? Noch eine investigation. They will find that one of the screws was out of place. And that's what made the accident happen. And so we will now build new machines where the screws will be in place. And we will be able then, within 10 years, not merely to do what's being done today, but we will have manufacturing factories in space. That's what they're talking about today. So, eine reden, as efsche, for the Bayri Baruch Hu, gewiesen uns, narischer Mensch, you've already reached the stage where you think that you're not only master of inner space, but you're already master of outer space. What can be a greater mistake? And when will we come to our senses? And in this world in which we live today, can we tell ourselves that that's only the freie Welt, the freie Welt. Aber wir sind doch nicht in die Welt. If we say that, we're fools. Where do we live? Behind locked doors? Don't we live in this world? When we have the G'dolim with us, they're the ones that keep alive that spark of recognition of the presence of an Almighty. But when gradually Hashem Yisborach removes them from our sphere of living, Rachmona Litzlan, what do we remain with and whom do we remain with? Isn't this something that should bother us? Isn't this something that should make us recognize when we had a Reb Yankev among us, hot erdo gesprudelt mit ihre Shemaim, his wisdom and his pikhus awakened in us a recognition of the fact that there is a Beri Baruch Hu who takes care of us, and it is within his periphery that we live, not within the periphery of a NASA and a Cape Canaveral. And in Russia, it's another place. Dos darf man doch besorgen und dos darf man doch bewähnen. Wie wird man aushalten, als er sagt? Wie wird man austragen? Aber hat nicht dem Gurgel, wo soll uns geben zu verstehen und hören. Hören, das, was er eher darf hören. Was er eher darf sehen. Der Novi sagt, what are eyes given for? What is sight given for? In order to have obstetricians make a living, that's why eyes were given. Shumore meinechem uriu mi boro eile. Use your sight to lift up your eyes to the heavens and see who has created these wonders. That's what you should use eyesight for. Have we been doing it? It's all ending in an investigation, nothing more. Where is the Mibor Eile? Was für das ein? We're unaware of what it's all about. Was haben wir kleine Welt, die das geworden? So limited the sphere of this world in which we live. And yet it is a world where we travel to outer space. And yet it is much more limited, beyond conception, than that world of before when we didn't travel to outer space. But we saw it. We had eyes with which we saw that outer space. Mi boro eile! How great indeed is Hashem Yisborach! That's what we lose when we lose G'dele Hador. That's what we forget when we want to speak and eulogize G'dele Hador. And I want to take this opportunity to read to you how small indeed man is, not merely from the vantage point of the Posuk and of Chazal. Let me read to you what I read in Yeshiva a few weeks ago. And maybe it will strike home to understand just exactly what we're talking about. And why the Ptira of the Godel means so much. Why we have to mourn the passing of a Godel. I have here something that I cut out of the New York Times September 1st, 1981. I was then deeply impressed with it, and I wanted to keep it, thinking that perhaps there'll be a day when it can be used profitably. And I think this is one of those days. Lewis Thomas was a non-Jewish writer on scientific subjects. He wrote an essay in the Times, "How Should Humans Pay Their Way?" And in that essay, he declares, "The greatest, please listen carefully, the greatest single achievement of science in this most scientifically productive of centuries is the discovery that we are profoundly ignorant. We know very little about nature, and we understand even less. We know little, with all the flights to outer space, with landing on the moon, we know very little, but we understand even less. That isn't sufficient." Let's hear what Professor Einstein, he was a scientist, wasn't he? He knew science. He wasn't a Talmud Chacham. He wasn't a Gadol Dateil. But he was a scientist. He's still considered the greatest in ages, because his theory changed all that had been believed up to him. The Gevaldik. Let's hear what he has to say on this very same subject. "You had conversations with a visitor, Einstein, you had conversations with a visitor in which the subject of our knowledge of the laws of the universe was discussed. You indicated that despite all our recent advancements, our knowledge remains rather meager." He doesn't say nothing, but rather meager. "You illustrated this by two examples. First, our increase in knowledge..." This is terrific, I must tell you. For me, this is a muscle that I'll use many times in the Shmuas, in the Yerushalayim, in the Yeshiva. Wonderful. "First, our increase in knowledge is comparable to that which a man interested in learning more about the moon gets when he climbs upon the roof of his house to catch a closer look at that luminary."